You're listening live to Real Racing USA. I'm Rick Andrews, along with Bill Green and Jack Smith.
One of my old friends, Rick Hurley, Rick the Roofer. I know we had our ins and outs, but Rick crashed his airboat a couple weeks ago.
Ouch.
And he got hurt pretty bad. Want everybody to send the healing vibes out to my buddy Rick Hurley, Rick the Roofer.
Healing vibes.
Healing vibes. Next week, Jack, real quick before we get going on this, next week got a special guest coming on. Stephen Wallace will be with us next week.
Stephen Wallace.
Son of Rusty Wallace.
Oh.
Nephew of Kenny and Mike Wallace.
Yeah, Mike.
And the only guy to ever really light the tires up.
Absolutely. That was one of the best videos I've seen in a long time.
We ask him the right questions, he'll light this show up, too.
Oh, no doubt.
I guarantee you that.
No
doubt.
And Steve's pretty
opinionated. He has a way with words when he wants to.
So we got on the show tonight.
Steve's fairly opinionated about some of the other drivers.
Oh, but before we, you know, in 2 weeks from now, we have is it 2 weeks from now? The 24th of October.
24th of October.
TBARA night.
Yep, we're going to have
cars in the parking lot.
More than just drivers, we're going to have cars on display. We'll have a bunch of the guys and gals out with us from the TBARA.
Look, it's Jay Arnold from Keels and Wheels.
And they will be taking care of us.
He's a celebrity this year.
He is a celebrity.
We're just talking right over
And we're going to talk about, that is one of the best organizations, the way they run, the way they operate, the way they move around the state, the way they get things done, and the way they do their racing.
Heels and Wheels, or are you talking about TBARA?
TBARA.
Both of them.
Sprint.
Both of them. Get around.
Heels and Wheels is adequate.
Adequate?
I give him a hard time.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Jim Dagger.
Can we turn the lights down? Jim Dagger's here.
Yeah.
Get a little bright.
Dagger.
Turn the lights down.
Hey, Jimmy.
So what else are we doing?
I don't know. You had a whole bunch to talk about, I thought.
We've got the Bullet Man himself, who likes to strap onto a lot of horsepower and go directly down the road, and that would be our Bradenton, the top fueler, Mike Ferris, will be
top
with us.
Top fuel what?
He's the top fueled drag bike guy. He's a
what 2006 kind of drag bike?
Top fuel Harley National
Harley Davidson, nitro burning Harley Davidson.
Mr. Stephen Cox.
I got a 1200. I don't think it goes that fast.
Bill.
You dream about a 1200.
Mr. Stephen Cox.
Yes.
Longtime Speed Channel dude, announcer, show host. Oh, he's cool. He's got a whole little deal he's going to talk about, the lost generation of racing. Racers.
Hello.
The lost generation.
You were lost before it was a generation.
That was lost a long time ago. And Mike Peters, he's going to touch base with us, I believe, tonight.
Mike Peters is the owner of Ocala Speedway, and he is the fanatic who dreamed up 12 hours of Ocala, and that's like a 12-hour race. And we are going
12 hours.
Yeah, 12. We're going to announce all 12 hours of it. Aren't we, Bill?
Yeah, I think
we'll probably get an update about Lou, too.
You know, this is kind of like one of those disc jockeys that climb up in them billboards and sit up there for a couple of weeks. That's like
we should do that. All three of us.
I do have another announcement too. You know our buddy Demo Don. I just want to let Demo Don know that you can come home when you get done with playing with the kids down the street. You can come home anytime, Demo.
Come home, get cleaned up.
Come home and play with the big dogs.
Go ahead, Bill.
You're supposed to pick it up.
I was going to say he owes me a phone call, too, but I don't know what the deal is.
Hey, Bill,
Nobody owes us a phone call.
Anthony Campy.
Anthony Campy in the house.
The little guy who has learned a lot.
He's not little anymore, Bill.
The Reverend.
Give
the
me
Reverend.
A break, okay?
I can remember
interviewing
him.
He's not as big as his dad, but he will be one day.
I know, but I can remember interviewing him on the front stretch, and he didn't get much higher than that legend car he was racing.
Hi, I'm sorry. I hit that guy in turn three.
Okay, Bill.
The Reverend's with us, Bill. The Reverend is here.
Well, now, you guys got to... I hold a lot of reverence for the Reverend because he's a part of the reason I am where I'm sitting today. So we'll talk a little bit
Rick Bristol hired him for the show?
No, sir. Bonnie Hill hired me, remember, for Sunshine, and he was the man behind the microphone who said, sure, go ahead, try it. And he was figuring I'd fail, but...
Thanks, Rick.
And then he kind of helped...
I didn't think Rick Bristol would hook anybody up with Barnack.
He kind of ironed out the rough spots I had because...
I was there that night.
And he squared me right away, and after about 2.5 or 3 years with him, I was doing pretty good.
And we got some other things cooking, too. We have... some other drivers, too, don't we?
Yeah, we got an interview clip we're going to play a little bit later on about... bank loans and racers.
Later?
Yeah, or whenever you want to play it. You want to play it now? No, don't play it now.
Okay.
Jeremy Root?
Jeremy Root's in the house with us.
From Citrus?
From Citrus County. Inverness. They travel a long way to come see us.
We're going to try to get out to Colorado to talk to R.J. Scott, who's the promoter of this Florida.
I'm not going to Colorado.
The world.
Florida. Oh, well, the Florida versus the world.
Modified.
Race.
USA International Speedway.
Right.
December.
Florida versus...
So cold,
are they coming from overseas?
When it is so cold that Jerry Benner will either need blankets or have to, like, stay
I'm going to be
home.
Talking to Jerry Benner in December.
I hope so.
The Florida 400.
Bill, what about this clip you've got of Bobby Dill?
All you got to do is you can talk to Jerry Benner anytime you want. Just say something really crazy on the message board.
There's no, something to do with track owners making money. That's
track
owners making
money.
Well,
what's this clip you have of Bobby Dill, promoter of the Fast FMG, Fast Truck, Fast whatever?
FMG.
Yeah,
FMG.
It's it, on Saturday night, Bobby called me as he was headed home from Charlotte County Speedway. And I took the opportunity to confront him about something that I think is a little, well, here.
Did you tell me we were taping him?
Bill's editorial.
Yeah, he knows what I always tape Bobby
editorial.
I'm always taping Bobby Dill.
Bill was on the air doing Saturday
Bill's
night
editorial.
Live.
Remember
after
when
the
Hans used to do the live NASCAR minute?
Yes.
I want to talk to you about something that came up that I have got to, I don't want to say confront you with, but I want to talk to you about it because I don't think it's a good idea. Are you ready?
Well, I guess both feet. Let's go, brother. All right. I'm on cruise. What are you on?
Okay, you got a thing floating around, and John Birdie wrote a little editorial thing here about Wachovia Bank establishing loans for racers and making it, I don't know, I guess they're just trying to make it easier for racers to get a loan to make those, I don't know, I guess savvy or more race competitive. There we'll go. And that kind of thing. But in the bottom instance of this, the only thing I can see is that we do not need to be sending our local racers into debt with their homes or anything else to go racing. And that's what I worry about.
I can tell you is that what you learn from experience. I mean, I'm not a smart guy. I ask a lot of people. But the reason the Fast Truck is even here...
Candle after.
What'd you do, man? I have no idea. You broke it. Yeah, you broke it.
Bike or a camper or something else that, you know, I mean, I don't know what golf clubs, you know, cost. I mean, you know, obviously some of them are expensive. But, you know, people are going to do things to entertain themselves. And I had 35-plus loans going at one time and over 70 total throughout before First Union was bought up by Wachovia. And so that was 70 people that basically got into racing because they could take it and pay $207 a month and race. Now, of course, there is a risk in any time you borrow money, and God knows, you know, hey, the biggest problem we have are some people will race and their kids won't have a shoe because they had to sell the other one, you know. But if somebody's wanting to truly have the passion of racing, and of course, you're going to keep her. I can tell you, out of the 70 people, I did not have one person go bankrupt because they had a $270 payment. Nobody defrauded. And in the original deal that I set up with Wachovia, I basically co-signed if they had the collateral. So I guess my answer to the question was I believed that if they wanted to go, but they didn't have, you know, they could never muster enough money up together, but they could maintain payments, then by all means, why shouldn't they do that? If, you know, because you go out and buy it, and now you got a hole to throw money in.
Well, I understand the principle of the thing, and I realize that some people do want to go racing bad enough that they might, you know, be willing to take the money and get started and so forth, and I'm sure that if it's done correctly and, you know, put into the budget correctly, that, you know, you won't go broke.
I'm coming up at 177, and that's the no zone. You know that.
I understand. No problem. That's how you get rid of me. You just hang on.
Exactly. I caught you right. I caught you up about 10 miles before. By then, you know, we'll bang our lips. It's not for everybody. I mean, and what spurred it was, you know, I had these guys that, man, I'd love to run the late models. Great series. You guys pay $2,000 to win, you know, $200 to start. Man, the tires go two or three, you know, races, and I got a late model. But, man, I just cannot, you know, I can build a motor and go out and run in the back of the pack, and you know, for $5,000. But I could do it, you know, $1 at a time.
Okay? I understand.
Well, this gives them the opportunity to say, okay, now I can get back to racing instead of having a garage trophy. And, you know, hey, yeah, I do own Agenda. My agenda is to get as many race cars out on the racetrack because I really think in order to develop a fan base for anything, you've got to have car count. My agenda is to get as many race cars out on the racetrack because I really think you've got to have car count. You've got to have car count. You've got to have car count. You've got to have car count.
Yeah.
That is what Bobby and I talked about on Saturday night. On Saturday night, that's what I asked him about it, and I kind of let him go. I tried not to agree or disagree too wholeheartedly because I don't want to make Bobby mad. But I think this is the worst deal to come down the pike.
I don't think it's the worst. I don't think it's. I don't think it's totally wrong.
If you're sitting at home
wrong.
And you think of it yourself, well, and you want to take the chance, fine.
Rick Bristol enlightened me on a lot of things about, you know, I mean, when Rick Bristol enlightens you, it's amazing. You feel the glow.
So what Bill's saying is, like, people shouldn't be going out.
No,
and
but see, what Rick's point is that you make a payment of $208 a month, you go racing. I mean, not little time racing, big time racing.
Yeah,
of course, when you hit the wall, right. Then you got to get the second mortgage out, and you just tell them to make the check out to Jimmy Cope. Because Jimmy's going to fix the
truck.
That's
right.
Oh,
that's
my
right.
God.
Absolutely.
You guys.
Jimmy's going to make the...
Anyway.
Jimmy loves this idea.
And this is a very controversial...
They call it the Jimmy Cope Scholastic Fund or something.
Yeah, it's definitely a beer fund. But I'm just saying that it's just not a great idea, I don't think, to promote it in that instance and in the way he was. Just
we'll never get Jimmy Cope on this show.
Why?
Because you don't... Go with his flow.
Speaking of loans.
Go ahead.
Speaking of loans.
Loan me some time.
This is another one of them little things that isn't so popular an idea. However, it's one of them things. Auburndale Speedway is, you know, the city of Auburndale owns the track, and they have hold a mortgage on the track. And we're hearing like tremblings that if things aren't fixed pretty soon, there may be a new owner over there. And that's... It's not a good situation. Let's put it that way. The track I'll say this. There's a pretty good chance. There's a pretty good chance that the track could change hands within the next year.
I think Bobby could hook him up with a loan.
Well, that was that's what I was getting at. That was my point.
I'm serious. Yeah. I think Bobby could hook him up with a loan.
Yeah. What's the
or be down to one track?
What's the rest of the news from the other tracks? Are they all in good health?
Charlotte County Speedway, which has their lease with the Airport Authority, is up in March of 2008.
Quit shaking your head.
I'm
trying to get all this together here. So their lease is up
on
March 2008, and they want to entertain people around the country to come look at their track at this facility, as far as like coming in there and refurbishing the place and putting a first class facility together.
So they're looking for a Martin Pierce, basically.
They're looking for a Martin Pierce.
Which would be good.
They'd be very good. And because it's a great area, it's an excellent location, the most successful track in terms of car count, not necessarily fan count, but in terms of car count, hands down, Citrus County is the best track in the state, and it's a leased facility. So, you know, the Airport Authority...
Say that again.
Back.
About when you started with Citrus County.
Well,
what about it?
It's one of the most successful tracks in terms of car count.
Successful, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying it was one of the best.
No, it's for in terms of car count, it outdraws everybody.
Oh, no doubt.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But so the Airport Authority was supposed to this month or last month in September, they were supposed to send out requests for bids for people to put proposals together for them. They're behind schedule on it. They're going to send them out. They're going to try to get them out before the third week of this month. When they have their monthly meeting, they're going to try to get those requests for proposals out. They're going to place advertisements in magazines and newspapers and other places, racing publications, websites, and so forth around the country to see what kind of interest that they get.
They should advertise on the show.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
We could do it cheap.
Well,
I mean, what, yeah. We just topped 30,000 people.
Cheap, 30,000, is it?
Yeah. 30,000 we just topped.
Yeah.
We get it out there. A lot of people listen.
30,000.
30,000. It just popped. It just dropped down.
Bill's fooling with that switch.
$29.98.
Anyway, that's what's happening. Sure they're supposed to send out the request for
proposal. Okay, proposal. You say proposal. What do they want proposed to them?
They want somebody to come in there and put some money into the place to make it like a real top shelf facility. That's what they want.
Yeah,
they want a multi-use facility.
Charlotte County Airport Authority wants somebody to come in and spend a whole bunch of money on their property.
Correct.
That's right.
And they want it to go from whatever $3,000 or $4,000 a month it is now to like 11
to entertain a long-term lease, a long-term lease.
They want it to go from $3,000 to $4,000 a month they're getting now
to
about 11.
What they have seen, based on what they have seen there, this is what they say.
They want it to go from $3,000 to $4,000 a month to about $11,000 a month.
What they have seen is that they don't believe that a racing facility, a stock car racing facility,
they want it to go from $3,000 or $4,000 a month to about $11,000 a month.
Bill, be quiet. What they have seen is that a racetrack operating one day a week cannot generate enough income to satisfy what they want.
Then make it a parking lot and sell it to Hyundai.
No, they want a multi-use facility.
I'm telling you, it's going to be difficult to do.
Why is that?
Because just the way things are going right now. I mean, look at South Georgia Motorsports Park. Put a lot of money into it. A really great facility. Gets a lot of racers, but they're running three or four nights a week, and they're still struggling.
Hey, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. There is about like 2 light years from Valdosta and Charlotte County. Trust me.
It'd be similar to Jeff Choquette buying tires for Schofield's car.
He might do that, though.
I give up.
They would be worn.
That's the way I look at it. I mean, why are you going to put money into something you're never going to own?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, why do they do it at Citrus County?
Why do people do that?
The fair people
own it. Yeah. But at any point, they could take it back to make cattle.
It's your microphone.
Why do major league franchises do it? I have no idea.
Did you turn yourself down?
Hooters Pro Cup is going to be on a different subject. Hooters Pro Cup is going to be announcing very soon that next year's schedule, 2007, which probably will be released sometime in the next week, they're going to announce a cutback.
Good.
Cutting back races?
Cut back some races. Cut back some laps on some of the longer races.
You know, I recall, though, on your interview with Kenny Wallace. Exactly.
Don't screw it up.
Don't get bigger than what you already are.
What it needs to be right now. Do not go to the bigger tracks and try to be bigger than you really are.
Kenny Wallace interview is still up. Where is it?
It's still on the...
It's still up there, and it's still getting a lot of people
that haven't listened to that should really go and listen to that.
Very good.
Because besides Kenny being a joking guy and really funny and stuff, he's really serious, and he does know a lot about racing.
And that interview, people need to go back and listen to that interview before we talk to Steven next week.
A couple other things that I'm just going to go out there and predict.
Go for it.
I will say that David Ruderman... We'll have a major announcement coming up soon, and you will see some really cool pictures on Karnak.com.
He's already done one major announcement. He's going to be helping out the truck race.
Major announcement.
Major.
I understand.
And I also predict that...
What could it be, Bill?
I also predict that the Army is
going to... He's going zoom in a big, big, big way.
Multi-million?
Yeah,
big time.
I wouldn't doubt it. He's going to have to buy a bigger motorhome.
Big time. Big motorhome.
Big motor. He don't buy the motorhome.
No.
He just rides.
And the Army's going on a recruitment campaign, and they're going to get a youngster.
But you know what? Not another guy in this state deserves it as much as David does, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's worked very hard to get where he is.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
Nemechek.
Unfortunately, Joe may be headed the opposite way.
Yeah, he's going to go to the trucks. He'll end up in the trucks. This is just a prediction, but I think he's going to end up in the trucks, and they're going to get a younger guy for that Army ride.
Everybody's going younger. They're going to replace us with younger.
That's why we're going to talk to Stephen Cox.
The next show is going to be older people, I guarantee you.
Yeah, we're going to get Dave Scarborough.
Let's go back to the old fogies.
Well, what were we talking about tonight, boys?
Sorry, I go off on a tangent, but I think it's funny how racing has gone and come back again. It really is. Rick and I have been around it since we were kids down here, and it's like my dad used to do. He'd go to one racetrack, get pissed off. He'd say, bye, I ain't never coming back, and he'd go to another. He'd go race it until somebody made him pissed off there, and he'd go back, and hopefully they changed hands at the old track, so he'd go back there again. That's the way everybody does this racing thing. It's just the normal rotation of people and families, and it's just, if it wasn't for the kids, and we need to talk about that too, in racing, it would all be... to hell in the handbasket pretty quick.
Boy, Bill's really been opinionated today. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I'm just rolling with it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset anybody.
Really suck.
All right, got Bobby up.
Okay, what are we doing now?
I think it's probably 20 minutes into this mess. We better probably take a break.
Take a break.
Prepared to talk to the Reverend himself.
The Reverend, yes.
You got it.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates and things. they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
All right, welcome back to the Chinook River Grill. Real Racing USA is at it again. We have opened the can of worms. Now let's get on to the real interviews.
Where are we from, Bill? Greater Tampa Bay. Right, exactly. Jack, you want to join us today sometime? Thank you.
All right, we have the pleasure of bringing in one of my old friends and one of the guys who has been in the... He's been a newsmaker, and he's been a news reporter, so to speak, in different formats, I guess, from flagging to driving to just about everything, and taught me an awful lot of what I know about calling a race and doing the things I do for sponsors at a racetrack. Rick Bristol, thanks for dropping by.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate you bringing me in after the cracks about old folks, but...
You're not that old yet, Rick.
Yeah, you,
I'm pretty old.
You're not that old yet, Rick.
You guys talking about me again?
Anyway,
first off,
before we get to the nitty gritty, do you miss it at all? Calling races every night or being at the track every night?
Yeah, I do. I did it for a long time and have had the opportunity to announce some of the best races that the state's seen at some of the tracks I've announced at. So yeah, I miss it, but at the same time. I drove for 6 years every Saturday night from Orlando to Sunshine Speedway and never missed a race. And I tell you, that wear will wear you out after a little while.
Well, this thing you're working on right now is, like, really, really important. And I'm glad you're doing it because we need more of this kind of stuff. Tell us about this event.
Well, again, I originally had the idea to do just kind of came up with the idea for the truck race and wanted to do something nobody had done. So the 200-lap truck race came up as the idea to do. And then we wanted to do some stuff with pit stops and all of that. But then, you know, I got to thinking, I've always done the fundraising for the children's homes over the years. I did it for 15 years and missed having something that I could do to help, you know, to help people. It's something I enjoy to do. And so I thought about the Victory Junction Gang Camp because I think it's a great deal. But they have a lot of people with millions of dollars that are helping there. And then I heard about Tommy. And when I heard about it, I just knew that it was something God has told me I need to do. I need to help this family. It's just, you know, sometimes things hit you and you understand what you're supposed to do. And so I knew that that's what I need to do. So we tied it together, and now that's what it's become. It's become a charity event for him and for his family. But I also want to make it something that could be an annual event to help families here in Florida that don't have a chance to go to the camp or are just struggling. So if everything goes well, then we can make this an annual event.
Yeah, well, I was involved in several of your events, the go-kart thing. That was awesome. How did you hear about Tommy? I mean, how did this all get going?
It was on the Karnak message board. The lady put up information that she was a race fan, and they had been to racetracks, and they knew that race fans are some of the greatest folks. They always have everything that I've ever done. I've found such good results out of the race people. They always come together for when people are in need. So she put up on there for people to pray for Tommy because the initial diagnosis it wasn't good. It's a terminal disease. The good news is Shands Hospital, they went there and they got a treatment. They got a they got this transplant, which came from a baby's umbilical cord, which that is what right now is giving him a 40% chance.
What was his chance
of beating
prior
this?
To this?
5%.
5%. What is it that he has?
The funny thing, everybody always asks me that. It's a very hard word to say, but I'm going to try to say it. It's called adrenocortical dystrophy. It's a form of...
Muscular dystrophy.
It's a form of muscular dystrophy, a form of leukemia.
Uh-huh.
But then the problem that he has, he also has an onset of Addison's disease. Now, Addison's disease has to do with your body breaking down fatty acids and that.
Immune system kind of thing.
What you'll see about Tommy is Tommy's skin is brown, like he's been sunburned for a long time. That's what you see, and that's what that part of it is. But what the bad thing about this disease is, what it can do is first take away his sight, It can take away his hearing, and then he'll actually become a vegetable. It'll be a vegetative state that he initially could end up in. So we're right now, the good news is it's working. The blood transplant, they've already been testing the blood cells, and it looks like they're working. And we're just praying that that happens.
I did read not that long ago that he'd really gotten bad there for a little while.
Yeah, the initial surgery, and was in critical condition, and came very close to being away from us then. So, but luckily he pulled through that. He's now in an apartment at Chance Hospital, and it's a safe house apartment. It's clean. He has to be in all that kind of a condition, and it's $1,350 a month. And the insurance don't pay for it.
Right.
So this family's medical bills are just escalating huge every hour, every minute. And the other thing is they have to sell their house, and they have to find a place. And the reason why is their house is old, has a lot of things that allow dirt and stuff that won't be, you know, sanitized like it needs to be. So they're going to have to find a place. They're going to have to get a place where when he gets to come home, they're going to be able to keep him in a sterile environment. So the expenses are amazing.
And what's the have you set a goal maybe or something for the race or for this event?
No, just whatever we can do. I mean, you know, all you can do is you ask people to come and support it. You ask people to give what they can, but you know, everybody has their own kind of problems. Everybody has their people they know that need help. So all we can do is we can do our best by putting the race together. We put the race together. The agreement is with the track, Orlando Speed World, and Rusty and Don and Robert Hart were generous enough to let me have the race there. And it's an agreement to have the race there. They're not sanctioning anything. They're allowing me to use the racetrack, but they are in the same time going to support it by using their regular gate staff and all that, because I'm coming in there trying to run a show. I don't have a complete staff. I don't have all that. They're going to do that. We've already, the tickets that are going on sale, there's a certain amount that will be set aside on every ticket. And then whatever profits that night, whatever it happens to be after we pay what we need to pay. I mean, there's all this insurance, there's lights, there's all that. Once that's all done, we'll get what we get. I'm praying for $10,000. And
cool.
My initial thought was, $2,500 would be good. But I'm thinking bigger. So I'm thinking 10,000 is a good possibility, and it could be more. How many people come to support the race, the fans, is going to be the thing. That's why I went after trying to get some NASCAR guys there. And gracious enough to be the first one is David Rudiman. And I'm very excited, because what you were saying is the same thing I know. I know what's going to happen. Me and David have several conversations on the phone, and it's real close.
He's one of the most deserving people in the
really
state
is
to make it to Nextel.
Of course,
really
Rick's wearing that Toyota Racing Development shirt.
Yeah,
nothing
well,
to go with that.
I drive a Toyota body truck, because they don't have a chassis and a motor yet here, but I work at a Toyota industrial equipment supply place, so a forklift company, so we have that. But that's been a neat thing. And the other driver that could be there is a guy, and I won't say a name or a couple of names, but one of the names drives the Toyota forklift.net truck right now. So if you know who that truck is, there's a good possibility, very good possibility, he could be there. And then a good friend of mine who has supported my charity events in the past, another NASCAR Craftsman truck driver, could be there. Feel confident they will. The cool thing is the Craftsman Banquet is the next day in Orlando.
There you go.
So they're going to be in the neighborhood.
So they're going to be in the neighborhood.
Maybe they'll bring some friends.
And those things can help put some people in the seats. Tell us about the race.
Well, the race, like I said, it's going to be a 200-lap race. Initially, we were going to do a halfway fuel stop because it's safe. And we were going to do a live two-tire pit stop sometime between lap 50 and 150. But in going out to the track, trying to figure out a way to make a safe and fair pit road, there just is not really a way to do it. So we eliminated that. We're going to go to a halfway break. At the halfway break, we're going to pull the trucks down on the front Bandolero track in front of the crowd so they still have something to watch, and then the trucks will be serviced. Two tires they can change, refuel, clean the windshield, give the driver more fluids, make air pressure adjustments, and that's it. And they'll do that at the halfway mark, and then we'll go back.
So no ratcheting on track bars or doing anything weird with the jack bolts?
No, just okay. Air pressure adjustments and putting on your new tires. So so that'll make that. We've got lap money. Right now, we've done very well. And thanks to Rick tonight, we get a little closer, a couple more laps tonight. I think we got somewhere in the neighborhood of about 30 or 35 laps left to sell out of 200. So I think we've done pretty well with that. A lot of support. has come in for that. So
how much is a lap so people know?
$10
each.
$10 a lap. And I'm going
to
tell you.
Or whatever you want to do, but $10 a lap.
If you want to be part of this event, and it's going to be a big event, and I'll guarantee you, you're going to get a lot of media out of this. Of course, it's going to help Tommy a lot. But if you want to be part of this, just get a hold of Rick. I mean, it's all over the internet. You could Google it.
Well, you can go through Karnak, and you can link on to the little banner. The other thing is my website is carsracermarketing.com. Has everything about it on there, the latest news. I update it. Jack has done a great job of putting that together for us. We'll have a page up pretty soon with the pre-entries we have. We have six so far. It's early. We asked for November 1st, so it's up now as of today. So that's all on there. So if you need it, the laps are there. All you got to do is call me. All I'm looking for is your name right now. You tell me how many laps you want. If you pay, that's fine. Now, then I'll be getting back with everybody, getting all collected by the first.
There's just for any naysayers, I have paid you.
Yes, you're paid. I didn't know you had cash, but that's good.
Yeah, cash is good.
Is that what I loaned you?
So it's a 200 lap race, right?
Yes.
And how many trucks are going to start?
32 in Orlando. That'll be awesome.
How many do you have signed in right now?
I mean, well, like I said, I only have six pre-entries right now. I have 47 drivers that called me and asked for packages.
Right. And
47?
Yeah.
There's double that many trucks out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're out there. And, and there's going to be people that I don't expect that are going to come. There's going to be people I thought would come that don't come.
And we need to mention which rules packet are you working with here?
Well, we have our own rule packet. The fast car and fast truck rules, most of them are the same. There's some of the things that were a little different. So on my website, it's clarified right on there. And in the packets that I'm sending, it's clarified what we're going to go with on that rule. So if there's anything that, we try to go through it all and check it all out and get them all. If there's something that comes up there, I'm not having the race to bust a bunch of people. But we are going to have a good, firm, fair tech everybody that's coming there to race is going to understand that it's fair. I've got a tech team announced, and it's good tech team. Ted Head is going to be lead. He doesn't have any ties to either truck series. He's going to be our lead tech. And then Carl Green and Don Hellyer, who have experience with fast truck, fast car.
They have the experience to know what's going on.
It's a good group of tech people. And I'm bringing in Brad Hockaday, who is a race director from ASA. He's done a lot of USAC stuff with a lot of.
We used to watch Brad flag at Lakeland.
Yeah, he was a little kid.
He's in charge of everything that happens with ASA.
It's amazing
now
how many of these guys that are up in there. Jimmy Wilson works for Hooters Pro Cup now.
Yeah.
Third in command and all that stuff.
The little general.
The little guy. Yeah, he's a.
Say I had a truck. What's it going to cost me to run this race?
Well, the pre-entry is $125. Before November 1st, and it's $150 after that. And like I said, then it's up to you how you do it. I mean, you got to have you go with what you want tire wise and all that.
Tires, you can go anywhere, fuel anything.
Other than that, that's the only charge that I have. And the pit passes, I've set up a pit pass, 2-day pit pass, $45. And the grandstand passes are $20. It's good for both nights because on Friday night we're going to qualify and lock the top 20. We're going to impound the trucks. They will be teched and they'll be impounded for the night. The next day, we proceed with second round qualifying and a last chance race, depending on how many trucks we have. Also on Friday nights, we're going to run mini cup cars that are coming there. They're donating their time. They're going to race. I've given them a special pit pass since they're racing for no purse. They'll be there. We're going to have a big trophy and a 30 lapper on Friday night for them. And the mini cups, the junior mini cups, will also run. And then we're going to have a barbecue. So we're going to have food. We're going to have music, and we're going to have a celebrity auction. And we have some things that we've worked on that should be coming, and we should have some good stuff for that.
That's
as well.
Saturday, and
that'll be on Friday, and then on Saturday everything else will go on. Legend cars are going to run that night. They're just going to run a feature. The mini cups will run again. They'll just run a junior cup feature and a pro cup feature, and then those will be short races. We have a time schedule on those, and we're going to start introductions by 8 o'clock and start the 200 lapper by 8:30, and hopefully everything after that will.
Rick and Susan from Fast Times Productions, they just told me that Carl Edwards is coming.
Is that right?
That's what I was just told.
Is that right? I know they were working on stuff, but they haven't told me yet.
Surprise.
I have to wear my 99 shirt.
Well, you know what? We've got, and that's
media.
Not,
yeah. Media.
And I'll tell you, there's some other neat things happening. Yeah. Jerry Parker, who is with the mini cups, he's been working on some stuff. and possibly a driver, but also a bunch of good stuff. And one, Tommy's favorite drivers are Dale Earnhardt Jr., second, Jeff Gordon. So he's working on trying to get Tommy some stuff. So that would be really cool.
Yeah, it would be really cool if we can get those guys down there in that office at what's that
rag they do in Orlando?
The Sentinel?
Yeah!
The Orlando Sentinel?
Get them on the stick here.
Let me tell you what my biggest thing now is. My biggest thing now is I'm looking for somebody that could sponsor the advertising and use it for their business. Okay, you can run your business ad, but tag on it about the race and the fact that the NASCAR drivers are going to be there. And that's my pursuit right now for the next several weeks, is to find somebody that would spend some money advertising, because we're going to have to do that. I don't have a budget. This is what I've done so far is out of my own pocket. So we need somebody to come up and say, I'll spend $5,000 advertising.
Be the title sponsor.
They'll be the title sponsor. Title sponsor. But it'll go right to advertising.
That's cheap.
It's really cheap.
Yeah.
And to have the
pretty much 2 days, well, they're full advertising plus the build-up to the race.
You have the opportunity of knowing, bringing more publicity to you because of NASCAR drivers, and you're helping to do that. So that's what we're looking at. If anybody's interested, anybody has any ideas, please call me.
All right, Rick, dates, times, contact information.
Okay. Well, first of all, you can always call me. My cell phone anytime. It's 407-497-0448. Again, the website, carsracermarketing.com. The dates are December 8th and 9th, Friday, Saturday. DeSoto's running a sprint car race.
That's why I'll be up there Saturday night. You said I could announce.
Absolutely.
Oh, they're running it Friday night?
Me and you, Bill.
Oh, yeah, I'll go.
Oh, your big thing is Friday night?
Yeah.
No. Ours is Sunday.
Oh, that'll be part of Rick, and I'll do that for free.
Well, that's great. Actually, there's going to be a whole host.
Bill's paying for gas. Yeah, we're riding with Bill.
We got David Westerman has called me. Of course, he works there at Orlando. He's donated his time. Joe Lineberry works up in Volusia County. We all know each other.
Yeah,
they're all going. You guys will just have a good time together. I mean, that's what it's
going to be.
We'll leave Dave upstairs. We'll leave Dave upstairs and then run around. We'll play down in the infield.
All right. Just don't get run over, okay?
I won't.
Listen, don't run away. We're gonna try to get back to you because I'm sure there's going to be some questions and things.
Yeah, if anybody calls in questions, all you need to call us and ask Rick a question, of course, 941-748-3490.
Of course, Rick, give him that famous email address, too, the RB Mini.
Oh, rbmini68@AOL.com.
Have you emailed anybody that's had the same email address longer than Rick Bristol?
Jane Smith.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Patty Brill.
She's not much older than I am, though, and she's prettier. Yeah.
Thanks, Rick.
Racing JLS.
Hopefully,
Rick Bristol. Thanks a lot, brother.
No, thank you, guys.
Doing a great thing, man. Hopefully ladies and gentlemen, Rick Bristol, how about a round of applause?
Hopefully we got the word out. Don't go far, folks. We will be back. There's more from Real Racing USA coming up.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Bumper Sticker Rider.
Mr. Bumper Sticker Rider.
Never has one man written so much for so many. Without you, the world may never have known you can't hug with nuclear arms.
I need a hug now.
And just like you, I too would rather be fishing. Or square dancing, or even shopping.
Oh, yeah!
I owe, so off to work I go. You said it, brother.
Speak the truth.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh, bar to the bumper. Thanks to you, I know it's perfectly all right to honk if I'm horny.
Honk, honk, beep, beep, honk.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hey!
I know that we're glad to have you on board. Tell us a little bit about Stephen Cox. How did you get where you are and what you're with everything you're doing?
Well, that's kind of a broad question, but I found that I couldn't make a living in radio, and so I decided to go into television. That's the long and short of it. And I was already out there driving race cars, and lo and behold, one day, about 1994, ESPN was starting a new Saturday night show. You guys remember Thursday Night Thunder? It was on ESPN for a lot of years.
Oh, yeah.
They had the spread.
Absolutely.
I used to run home to get to watch it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they had a spinoff show from that. I mean, Bob Jenkins came out and helped us a little bit and so forth, and Linger Group here in Indianapolis produced it, and it was a spinoff show that had go-karts in it called Saturday Night Lightning.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they had an announcer on there the first year, and they decided they wanted to make a change. And so somebody went and told them. They said, hey, we know this guy that works in radio out in Richmond, Indiana, and he knows racing. He's a race car driver, and he's on the radio, and he's done a little bit of TV work. Are you interested? So they said, well, you know, bring him on out here, and we'll put him in front of the microphone. So I ended up co-hosting it with Dave Wilson, and, you know, from there, just decided that, you know, hey, who needs this radio thing anyway? Because I couldn't do very well at it. A lot of other people did a lot better, so I must not have been very good. But television, I seem to be okay at.
Well, now, what's been the most exciting thing you've gotten to cover in that career?
Well, the most exciting thing would undoubtedly have to be the Paris-Dakar Cairo rally for Speed Vision about
wow.
5 years ago. We went out there, and they flew us into Paris, and it was a whole big... I mean, this is a whole show in itself.
Yeah, Steve, I was going to suggest that we're going to get you back one of these nights and just talk just about that and your trip with the terrorists and the whole nine yards.
Jack, that is a whole show.
No doubt.
No. Terrorist threat in the middle of Niger, Africa, and we got strung out with like 20 other people. There was no place to go.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're in Niger, you don't take the 12 o'clock flight or the 4 o'clock flight to Paris. You get like the January flight or the August flight. There's no other options. You can't get out. So that's a long story, Jack. I can tell you some other time.
It's kind of like the flight of the Phoenix.
Yeah. So Stephen, let me just sum this up here. You have been a stock car racer. Of late, you have been a successful road racer. But what you've been involved in promotion, and you have a great promotional package that you've tried to help people with marketing over the years. What I'd like to have you talk to us about is this thing you were telling me the other day when we were talking on the phone about the lost generation of race car drivers. What is that all about?
Well, just to give everybody a little background on my conversation with Jackie, and I chit-chat at Pro Cup races and whatever shows we run into each other all the time, and he said, you know, it's just like the kids are getting younger and younger, you know, my oldest is 17, and he's considered late, you know, starting out in go-karts and stuff, and I said, you know, that bugs me. And the first guy, we started talking about Jeff Gordon, actually, Jack and I did on the phone. Jeff ran down at Bloomington Speedway in 1986 when I was starting out in dirt cars. So I would pull in with a 1971 red and white International half-ton pickup and an open trailer on the back of one car. And 13-year-old Jeff Gordon would pull in with an 18-wheeler, three sprint car chassis, and a rack of engines. I didn't even count them. I just walked past him. And at that point in time, everybody decided that all the car owners in the world, what they really needed was to find the next Jeff Gordon. And from that point on, I mean, look at Joey on the Hooters Pro Cup Series. I mean, it's getting younger and younger and younger and younger, down to where you've got literally 13 and 14 and 15-year-old kids being signed on to long-term development contracts, which, in my opinion, is not good for the kid. And it's certainly not good for the drivers who have been around for a while and paid their dues. So what you had was, I like to call it racing's lost generation. You had a group of guys that got ready and they paid their dues and they got ready in 25, 30, 32 years of age. They said, hey, I'm going to hit big time. I'm going to IndyCars or Cup. That's where I'm going. And they did. And then the next group of drivers would come along. And then the next group of drivers would come along. But once Jeff Gordon hit the scene and everybody decided that they wanted to find the next 17-year-old superhero, there was an entire generation of race car drivers like Eric Gordon in sprint cars and just, you know, guy after guy, just unbelievably talented race car drivers who were totally skipped over. And all of the car owners out there, they began looking at all the younger people for the sake of their marketability and their long-term development. Who cares whether they can drive now or not? We'll teach them that later. Get them into the program and start weaning them along one day at a time. And all of those drivers from age 25 to 40, from 1985 to about 1995, none of those guys got their opportunity. And I kind of call them racing's lost generation, and I think it's a bad thing. I don't think it's a good thing. And guys like Joey in the Hooters Pro Cup Series, they're remarkable exceptions. And the reason that not only is an incredible, likable kid, but the reason that I don't oppose all kids in it is because some of them, like him, are really that good. But the vast majority of them, really, they don't have the experience to be driving at the Pro Cup and the Busch level and the truck level, and it's just it's not a starting series.
Steven, how do we weed them out, though? How do we decide which ones deserve it and which ones don't?
We don't worry about age anymore. If there's a guy out there and he's 29 years old and there's another kid next to him that's 15, and the 15-year-old we think is going to bring a pretty good sponsor, and we think that maybe we could wrap him into our long-term development program, but the 29-year-old can win right now. Well, let him drive.
Is that Madison Avenue that's driving that?
I think a lot of it is, yeah.
Yeah, Stephen,
it really is.
Stephen, this is Bill Green. There's been so many guys that I've interviewed in the Winner's Circle or talked to them on radio shows like this that I've said, hey, what kept you from going on? And they've said the same thing. Hey, the age just jumped right past me. So I got to be 31, and I'm waiting for that big call to go to Busch or go to, you know, so the next step, and it never came because it went to some kid who's 19, 20 years old.
That's exactly right. And there are so many drivers out there. They flat can't get hired. And I'm scared to name names, but you guys know the same guys as I do.
Johnny Rumley.
Yeah, we were talking about Johnny the other night. Man, Johnny can drive the wheels off anything, anywhere. And anybody in short track racing will tell you that. Even the guys that you know, have fenders with him before will tell you that. And a guy like that, you can't get hired.
As a matter of fact, Dale Earnhardt Jr. picked him to replace Shane Huffman next year in the Pro Cup, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, to me, I think that is a real detriment to the sport. I think it's hurting things. And we had the very same thing a couple of years ago when Sarah Fisher, Sarah and I aren't close in personal first name basis, but we crossed paths an awful lot in the mid-90s as she was making her way up into IndyCars. And when she went into IndyCars, you know, the first car owner that hired her said right out of the box, we think she's marketable.
Oh,
that was the very first words out of their mouth. No, and didn't have anything to do with the ability of a driver to get in the car and drive.
Do you see the next wave of this problem being minorities, so to speak, that they try to start picking on so many minorities to get more, you know, time on the news, time on TV?
Yeah, there's no question. You know, if they can get a minority into the cockpit one way or another, then it's going to generate a lot of interest in the series. But those things have a way of coming around. I'm not so concerned about, for instance, the Danica Patrick craze. That's going to go away. I had, last year I think it was, I was at a track doing a show. I think, I'm not sure if it was an Espen show or a speed show, but I was doing a show and I had a girl in her teens come up to me and say, hey, what's the best way to get into racing? I hear you drive and you announce both. Please tell me what's the best way to do it. And my advice to her was, do it now. And she said, well, where do I go? And I said, anywhere. Just do it now, as fast as you possibly can. Here's why. Right now, being female is sometimes good enough. It won't always be. Sooner or later, people are going to look at Danica Patrick and they're going to say, yeah, but show me the W's.
Well, speaking of that, Stephen, now in the Pro Cup in the last 3 years, there's been this young lady, and I'm sure you know you've talked to her, Michelle Theriault.
Michelle, yeah.
And interestingly enough, I don't think Michelle has had a top. I'm almost positive she has not had a top 10. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. I don't think she's had a top 10. I think her best finish is maybe 12, 14, 15, something
right,
like that,
right,
in 3 years of racing. But I'll tell you, time and again, when the fans come out on the track for the autograph sessions, and they love that at the Hooters Pro Cup level. I mean, the place is packed with people out there getting autographs. Michelle has them lined up. We were laughing, a friend of mine, we're laughing about it at Lakeland, at the most recent Lakeland event. she had 30 people deep there lined up getting autographs, and across the row was her, from her was a two-time Pro Cup champion talking to one person.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
It's, a lot of that is the uniqueness factor, and that's what I was referring to a few moments ago. Sometimes being unique, whether it's a minority or a female or an extremely young driver, it doesn't make any difference. As long as you're unique, maybe you guys remember back in the 70s, there was a long-haired, good-looking, sharp guy named Swede Savage that drove the Indianapolis 500. Sometimes just having a really unique name is good enough. I mean, Ford jumped all over that. They said, man, we got to have this guy. He's even got the name. But sooner or later, you have to produce. And, you know, that eventually weeds them out. So, you know, when I say that, you know, I'm not down in youngsters and I'm not down in females or minorities. It's just that you expect a little bit of that because it's unique, and the fans are going to flock that direction, and the media is going to lead them that direction, which I constantly kick and fight about. But there's, you know, I don't make the call on it. All I do is hold the microphone. But, you know, just look at a year ago in IndyCars, and since I'm here in Indianapolis, I use a lot of IndyCar analogies, but I mean, I'm in Indianapolis, and so I see what's going on here. The rest of the IndyCar drivers actually walked out and refused to show up. They refused to show up to an autograph session. They said, look, the only person you need here is Danica. You don't even need the rest of us. If you're not going to promote us, why bother?
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine they got upset about that. Do some of these lost drivers, as you call them, do some of them need to maybe be able to salvage a career by becoming a specialist, road racing, road circuit, that kind of stuff?
Well, that's what I did. Is that a fair answer?
Okay, I'll buy it.
No, really. You know, I came along and probably in the mid-90s, I don't know that I was a good enough driver to really make it into Busch at that point in time, but I was pretty good in open wheel, and I think a lot of guys did do that because about that time, you started seeing fragmentation. You saw, for instance, the Core Series, the championship off-road racing guys, got really big in the late 90s. I mean, that's a big deal in the north central part of the country. Then out west, you saw a lot of guys going to desert racing and off-road racing out there. You saw a big resurgence about 99 to 2002 in road racing. And those guys who were completely rejected from both Cup and IndyCar had to find someplace to go. And yeah, you're right. That's where a lot of them went.
Steve? I've already figured out we got to get you back because we done burned up our 15-minute segment, man. We appreciate you taking time to talk to us, though.
Steven, we want to have you come back and talk some more about some of your adventures and some not only about the stuff that you see in racing, because you see a point of view that nobody else sees or very few people do, and also really like to get into this thing about the cross-the-continent trip.
No, that was fun. That was 30 days that I will absolutely never forget. So I had a great time, guys. Thanks for having me on here, and I appreciate it. And hope we can do it again sometime.
I hope we don't upset you that right behind you is a 14-year-old race driver we're talking to.
No, that's fantastic. I'm all for, you know, hey, I am helping a kid named Crispin Beaver out west right now get his road racing career started, and he's 13 years old. So I have no problem with that at all until they hire him over a guy that's a lot better than he is. That's because he's 27 and he can't get a job. That's where the problem comes in. So,
hey, Steven. Thanks, Steve.
I give you a big thumbs up, man.
All right, Steven. Next time you're in Florida, man, we'll get you in the house with us.
Man, I hate to hit this button, but I got to go. Fun.
We'll talk to you soon, Steven.
Up against the hour, man. Real Racing USA. We'll come back at you here shortly.
Before we go to break, we got one little thing now.
Go for it.
One thing.
No, we have to dedicate the next 2 minutes to...
Oh, great. Throw that at me without getting me prepared because I've got a regular segment.
Who are we dedicating it to?
Oh, he's gonna make me play this.
Aaron Williamson.
Aaron Williamson
at Citrus County Speedway. Okay. The Florida Mini Stock Challenge.
No, that's the Southern Sportsman.
Oh, no, the Sportsman, Southern Sportsman Series.
Right.
And what was his Richie Smith in the.
Don't ask me.
Yeah, Richie Smith in the Southern Sportsman Series.
I'm already getting dogged because I don't have the soda results.
Yeah. No, those two
that's
guys.
That's not even my job.
The following 2 minutes are dedicated to those guys.
This is not the following 2 minutes.
Oh, it's not?
No, this is not the following 2 minutes.
Oh, what are we doing?
This is the following 70 seconds because that's the only one I can find.
All right,
okay,
good.
Go for it.
Cheating heart will make you weep. try to sleep, but sleep won't come the whole night through. Your cheating heart will tell on you. When tears come down like falling rain, you'll toss around and call my name. You'll walk the floor the way I do. Your cheating heart will tell on you. Pine someday and crave the love you threw away. The time will come when you'll be blue. Your cheating heart will tell on you. When tears come down like falling rain, you'll toss around and call my name. You'll walk the floor the way I do. Your cheating heart will tell on you.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fancy Coffee Shop Coffee Pour.
Mr. Fancy Coffee Shop Coffee Pour.
What do you do with a master's degree in art history? You get a nose ring and pour coffee for a living.
Pour it on now.
Why is it called a latte? Maybe because it costs a latte, and it takes a latte time to make.
A whole lot of latte.
Someone ordered a cappuccino? Step aside. Let the man who works the milk foamer take over.
Step aside.
Sure, you charge $5 for a cup of coffee. It's putting that tip jar out that takes real guts.
Yeah.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, guru of the ground roast. It's not the caffeine that gives us the buzz. It's you.
Mr. Fancy Coffee Shop.
Bud Light beer at Isaac Bush for coffee.
You're listening to Short Track America.